Kimas Masa. Okay? That's really the two segments of an answer. There's just one more point that I think is sort of alluded to in the Sefer. And that is, but there's still something that there's a third thing that still is a little disturbing. One more thing. And that is, why is it so, really? Why is it so? That's a big question. Why should it be so? Why should it be that way? Why should it be that you really can't look around and point to the life of the Chacham? Why shouldn't the life of the Chacham really have some kind of some way that you could really show that this person has a superior life? Just even in the details, the external details, you see? That, I think, he answers when he says that, when he says in a few places, Orisius called Masa Elokim ki lo yuchal odom nimtzol sa Masa shenasa tachas ha-shemesh b'shela sheyamol lo odom levakesh lo yimtzol v'gamim yoma ha-chochm odas lo yuchal nimtzol. There's a kind of finality in that pasuk. What does he mean? That's pasuk end of Ches. Last pasuk in Ches. What is the finality in that? And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there are other pasukim where similar, where he says that all the kimosa, where he says God made it that you shouldn't know. Vavosh lo yedas masay olakim mitchilo vatzof, which means that what Kehelas understood was that really is a very component of the Melchemes HaChayim, which means to say that if it were otherwise, you would not have the Melchemes HaChayim. In other words, the reason why there is no external support is precisely because Yahadis demands the situation that God placed man is one in which he follows Chachma for the reason that it is Chachma. If you could see in the details, if it were a world where you could see in the details the benefits of the Chachma, the whole Bechira, a person's entire Bechira would be infringed upon. The whole Melchemes HaChayim, the Kvar Rotza, a person reaching the level where he's satisfied because Kvar Rotza L'Kimis Masecha would not be there, because his emotions will be attached to external events, you see. So it has to be that way. It's Bavur Shelo Yeda Ha'odom Esamaseh She'oso Elokim Mitchilo Vatzof. It means it's specifically constructed that way, so that a man should be able to reach the level where the satisfaction is just from the idea. That's what Chazal say. What did Chazal say? Ilu Ha'yodea Ruvain, if Ruvain would have known that the Torah is going to write about him, the Shevach, Atzileo Miyadam, so he Malicha Ksefo, we're carried on his shoulders. But the Chazal continues. Chazal says, and now who writes? Akadosh Baruch Hu is still writing. What does it mean Akadosh Baruch Hu is still writing? There's no Machmish Chum Shetara. But it means to say the reality. Same reality. What is the Torah really? The Torah is just a sefer that tells you the reality of God's thoughts, of God's ideas. Those ideas are Kadosh Baruch Hu still co-save, and every person that does a Maisa Tov, it's a reality before God, and it's just as if it's written in the Torah. There's no difference. What's the difference? If it's written in the Torah, it's not different. So far as God's reality, it's the same exact reality. The Chamish Chum Shetara is a piece of God's reality. Not all. The Ksiva continues. It continues to go on. That's Kvar Rotzo Elokim Es Masecha. So really, the whole system of Yahadus is that a person should be able to be satisfied with those two things, the attraction to the Chachma itself and the Yedia Hashem, that Kvar Rotzo L'Kim Es Masecha. That's where the satisfaction or the stamp of approval has to come from. Different kind of a stamp of approval. Kehelas doesn't deny man's need for it, but he shows you exactly where a person has a need for that, and it's a part of his nature. You can't get rid of it. But it has to be satisfied only through the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does recognize that he's living the life of reality. That's where the satisfaction has to come from. Yeah. Now Yisakam's got to recite Nezav. If I'm not mistaken, the Rashi says Nezav means he had it and he lost it. See? But that could be explained also by the fact that a Chacham, what is it? Betzel HaChachma, Betzel HaKosef. Which means to say, if a person lives according to Chachma, so then he increases his money, And if he lives foolishly, I mean, the world says, and the law recognizes a lot of aphorism, you know, a fool and his money are soon parted. I mean, is an aphorism which Yehudas would endorse as well. So the law means a nezov means they lost it. So it could be explained partially simply through the fact that he lives according to Chachma as well. He doesn't say necessarily what he attributes it to. And it's a general statement, yes. You see, you have to understand, Kehelis's question is not in general terms. It's in specifics. Because if you have one specific, that's the end of your purpose. That's what I mentioned in the beginning. In other words, you can't say Nairis Kantalori studying that as of Zaram Rakesh Lacham, meaning the people that died in the concentration camps. It means, but that's an exceptional case. It means in general. But Kehelis's questions cannot be answered with general answers because he needs if you have one specific, that's the end of it. One specific is going to remove it. That, he says, you're never going to find. You'll never find a universal with no exceptions. So therefore, you can't really hang your emotional security on it. But in a general way, there's no question about it. In a general way, the life of the Chacham, the life of the Tzaddik is, of course, superior. In many ways, just because he works by Chachma, that alone. That alone is a very big thing. Yeah. You see, let me just... Okay. Yeah, remind yourself. It says, I didn't get to the self-dover kol nishma. Okay. Self-dover kol nishma, that's really what it means. Es elokim yirah, that's mitzvos of shmar. It means to say, but he says, kizeh kol ha'adam. What does it mean, kizeh kol ha'adam, is what the emphasis is on. It means to say, there is nothing more. That's exactly right. Kizek kolada means because that's all there is. Which means to say all there is if you want to sum it up in one statement, it says olakim yirah, which means to say that your reality has to be your reality has to be based upon what God's reality is. Okay? That's mitzvos shmar means engaging in the activities of the Torah. Those are the two components. Kizek kolada, because there's nothing more. If you look, that's it. You see, that's it. If you're looking for something more, what everybody else is looking for, the approval, the external approval and securities for the various lifestyles, you're not going to find it. But there's just two ingredients. So, Kim Yirah, he should be the reality. That's Mitzvos of Shmor, the activities of the Torah, which is Chachma and Limud and Mitzvah. That's it. Because that there's nothing more. That's really the self dover actually summarizes the whole philosophy of the Kehelis. And in one sentence, okay, about the Sinas Chacham. Isn't that the Sinas Chacham? So, Sinas Chacham, and then he hates the Chacham. And the Yadis took Sinas Chacham and made it into a Midah. And the seven steps downwards is Sonias Chacham. So, that's part of the, he's going, this is the road. This is step three, whatever, it's the three road. On the road, it says Chacham. That's, I don't remember what step it was. But I mean to say the benefit of the Masorah is that it gives you the simonim of the Derech HaChaim, which is the true Derech HaChaim, and the simonim of the Derech HaChaim is the false. That's what's amazing about the system of Yehadus. Okay? And that's why really Yehadus prevails. I mean, the beauty of the system of Yehadus is the endless simonim that it has that guide a person to show them whether they are in the Derech HaYashar or not in the Derech HaYashar. Concrete ideas that a person can recognize immediately if he sees a certain Derech, just a second, what does Chazal say? Oh, there it is. You see, that's the greatness of our Derech. There's no other system like that. There's systems of philosophy, there's people that have knowledge of psychology, but there's no, this kind of a system of Yehudas you don't have. Combination of the philosophical and psychological and identifying the roads, the paths, whether you're on this path or whether certain things light up when you're on the path. The Mamore Chazal. And they're always accurate. That's really the benefit of the Masorah. That's what we have that other nobody else has. You know right away. You can tell right away. Certain emotions. You start thinking, wait 1 second, but that's the mice over there. That was in Russia, okay? Or the different various things. The Sionis Achaim, the portrayal of the mice Avos, the portrayal of the mice Tzadikim, I mean, and the Rishayim as well. I mean, both. That's the whole idea of the Yadus. That's the amazing thing that Yadus has that no other system has. Only Masorah could have it. Because Misora can tell you what's right and wrong. A person doesn't know. And like we discussed last week, to discuss should Rivka discuss with Yitzchak or not discuss it? They say no. We have to discuss everything. This, yeah, this has it right there. There's the answer. If you disagree with this, then you're wrong. You know right away. You may not know why, so now you can spend time trying to understand why. But at least you know right away this is the wrong path. Okay?
Please keep listening. The next share is coming up in a second.
Practical share. I mean, what I'd like to do is run through Sefer Kehelos, certain aspects of Sefer Kehelos, and what I would like to do today really is just on a practical level. We go through a Sefer, and the ideas of Chazal, and they're in the abstract form. What I'd like to do is simply to take the results and just simply organize them properly. Okay, because to my mind, you see, Sefer Kehelos, everybody looks at it as a very sad, melancholy kind of a sefer. There certainly are statements in there that make most people feel unhappy. But the truth of the matter is that Sefer Kehelos is the sefer of happiness, because Sefer Kehelos really gives a person the formula for happiness, and that's really the objective of the whole sefer. Okay. So what I'd like to do today is just try to crystallize what Yahadus's formula for happiness is, because that's really what the result of Sefer Kehelos is, okay? And state it in clear terms. What direction does the Sefer give us? What is the real formula? Everybody in life is looking for one thing. The person is always looking for happiness. This is the goal. I mean, Aristotle says this is the goal of all human life, and anyone that's intelligent understands exactly that there's no question that statement is irrefutable. But what exactly is the formula? Okay, the guidelines, the formula. Okay, I think the formula really can be expressed in a few short principles, and that if a person follows those principles, he is guaranteed happiness. But I will qualify that statement. But in one sense, when I say qualify the statement, I'll explain to what I mean. In plain terms, a person that follows the formula is guaranteed happiness. And this is really what the Torah teaches a person in life, how to be happy. In terms of how to be happy. Now, the question, of course, is a most basic question. How do you know that the Torah believes in happiness? Maybe the Torah does not believe that a person should be happy. I mean, there are philosophies that maintain, on the contrary, that this life is a very difficult, tormented existence that man has, and there are even certain Chachmei HaMusar who actually recommend such a position. I mean, they present such a position. They say the life is difficult and miserable, and the person is always a sorus. And they say that really a person has, for a human being, in terms of his personal life, shouldn't really seek happiness. That's not really what we were put here for. And they support it with the words of Chazal. There's a Chazal that says, Schar mitzvah b'hayal malekah, which means to say that we don't expect to receive the reward for Torah in this existence, in this life. The Rambam point to that. The Rambam says that the main thing in Hilchos Teshuva, the main thing is Chayei Olam Haba. That really is where man receives his reward. So one would think, one could argue very strongly, that really happiness is not a goal of Yahadus altogether. Yahadus never considered human happiness in this earthly existence to be anything of great importance. And certainly you can point to, as many times I point to, the life of Yaakov Avinu, which is portrayed in the Torah, filled with difficulties. What I was saying a little less than yesterday, Sedra, Ma'ad V'royim Hoyim Shnei Chayai. So he told Paro, it was very they're very short and bad and troubled. I mean, and Yaakov, it wasn't a lie. I mean, he expressed that to God in his statement that Kel Shakai, Shem alone die, Yom Adai Letzarasai. So Yaakovina can't be a bigger tzar than Yaakovina, filled with tzaras. So there's room to argue that perhaps Yehadis does not make happiness an objective in life. A person shouldn't search for happiness. This existence is a very difficult, troubled existence, and what we should do is try to get through this existence as best we can, and then simply expect that the reality of the reward is not in this existence. It is Scham Mitzvah by Amalek Eleka, and it's a Chazal. Okay, so I throw it out to you. What do you say? I mean, it's a good argument. Is it right or is it wrong? So really, it's a pasuk in the Torah, and the one that pointed out the pasuk was the Rambam. Okay. Because the pasuk is Chof Ches Mem Zayin. So really, it's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says in the Klolos, Tachas Asher Lo Avadato Asher Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Leivav Meirov Kol V'Avadato Asher Vecho Asher Yishalchenu Hashem Boch B'Rov V'Tzomo V'Eirom V'Choser Kol V'Nosno Barzal Tavarecha Ad Shmida Asach. Amazing two psukim. Means to say that the pasuk says that if a person isn't happy, if he isn't in a state of internal happiness, that this is the worst of error. And because he wasn't happy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will place him in a situation of torment and suffering. Adish Mida Asach. I mean, it's an amazing pasuk. Just because Tachash Levad is a pasuk there, so what does it mean? It means that if a person kept Kolot HaKola, all the mitzvahs, but he wasn't happy, so then he will receive this terrible honor. That's what the pasuk says. So it's an amazing thing. I mean, you see that now at Torah, that happiness is not just even optional, but it's a top priority. It's a top priority. And if a person does not partake of happiness, this means that it's as if, I mean, it's as if he simply didn't partake of Torah. I mean, that's what it means. Okay, it's an amazing thing. Okay, well, if that's the case, so then we have to really, I mean, it's a chiyuv midaraisa, for a person to really search for happiness and to find out what the formula for happiness is and to live according to that formula. It's not just an optional thing, an amazing thing. Okay, I mean, it's like this is even more important than an isolated mitzvah, because an isolated mitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah is perfection. But here we're talking about perfection itself. It's pretty obvious. Pasuk. Okay. So the question is, what is the formula? Come back to that question. Okay. So let me start off with the Gemara on an Erevin Daf Mendalet Amud Aleph. All right, an interesting Gemara. It's a Gemara that you probably know, but I think it's worth repeating. Gemara in Dalam Ralph and Erevin. Amale Shmuel L'Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, he says, Shinana, chatof ve'achol, chatof ve'ishti. Grab and eat, and grab and drink. Da'alma da'azlinim minei, because the world which we are leaving, kehilula dami, is just like a chasma. Okay, Rashi says, Rashi explains, Chatof echol in yesh lecha mamon, if you have money lehanos atzmacha, to enjoy yourself, al tamten ad lamacha, don't wait till tomorrow, shema tomos, maybe you'll die, v'shuvein lecha hano, and you don't have any more enjoyment. Okay, the alma das limei ki lula dami, Hayom yeshno, today it's here, olamachar inenu, and tomorrow it's gone. Doma lechupa, shelechas maya. Why do they pick a chupa? Because, everything really is a lechas maya, isn't it? But it means to say, in a chupa, where there's a tremendous emphasis on simcha, so the emphasis in a chupa is always in contradistinction to its sudden, its sudden evaporation. So it's suddenly it's gone. Okay, that's an amazing thing. And if anything, I think at a chasna, everybody has that that kind of an emotion. I mean, a realization that the intensity of the situation, the contrast with how quickly it's over, is something that strikes a person. That's what he said. So, I mean, look at this chazal. It sounds like what kind of a thing is this? It sounds like a hedonistic philosophy. Okay. So what? So what if you don't have an awe? So what's so terrible? On the contrary, a person who reads the free muscle thinking they didn't have an awe is better off. So you know, he didn't have an awe. On the contrary, he shouldn't have any an awe. And over here, chazal tell you that you must, if you're intelligent, you should and you must have an awe. It's an amazing chazal, okay? Amale Rav le Rav Hamnuna. So Rav said to Rav Hamnuna, Bini, my son, in Yeshlecha, if you have, what is Yeshlecha? Rav says, in Yeshlecha Mammon, if you have money. Okay? In Yeshlecha, he says, Hetevloch. Hetevloch means it's good for you, enjoy it. Hetevloch. You should make it good for you. In other words, you should enjoy it. If you have money, enjoy it. Why? She'ein b'sh'ol tainug, because there is no enjoyment in the grave. Ve'ein l'moves hismameah. And you can't slow up death. Okay? Rashi. Yesh l'cho momen ve'ein l'moves hismameah. You can't slow it up. Keep piss on my other mace. Because a person dies very suddenly. Okay, it means that possibility is always a realistic one. I mean, most people don't live with that possibility, but that's the reality. Reality is that no one knows. The person doesn't know. Melech bosav adam, ayom kanu mocha bekever. He says, "Vim toma aniach with me." Maybe you'll say, "I'll leave it over for my son." He says, "Chok bishol miyagidloch." Chok, Rashi says, "Mazon miyagidloch in nisha biyodom shema yovdo." So it means to say that a person will think, "Well, okay, I want to enjoy my son well. All right, he's a generous person." No, that also is wrong. Why? Because you do not know what's going to happen with it when you're gone. You have no control anymore. And there's no way for a person to know. A person thinks he knows, but that's just another illusion. It's an illusion. It's a total illusion. He does not know. There's no, after his patira, what does the pasuk say? He has no. The mason have no participation in this existence. That's it. Gone. So I think they say from the altar of Slobodka. I believe they say that he, when they asked him to leave a tzava, so he refused to do so because he said that he says the Chazal teach that when a person dies he has no more shilton in this life, and therefore he says he's not leaving any tzavah. That's it. So you have a second Chazal, which insists. I mean, it's sort of a. It makes it a mandate on a person to if he has money to enjoy himself. I mean it's very in very crude terms. I mean Chazal were not very sophisticated when it came to literary expression. Chazal are very straightforward. They didn't like literary sophistication, because literary sophistication is a corruption of truth. They're very straightforward and they spoke a very straight language. Okay, they wouldn't win any awards for the finest literature and poetry. Okay, so there you have these two chazal. And the question, of course, is, as we raised before, the question is, what is the difference, really, between this philosophy and the hedonistic philosophy? Hedonistic philosophy, which is a cholish say, the Navi presents that philosophy. A cholish say, ki machanamas. Everybody says it's the Roman philosophy. Okay, yeah, but the Navi mentions it. As there was no philosophy, it was just in time of the Navi. Chol Shekim Aranamos. Okay. There's another interesting chazal. Right after this chazal, it says like this. Bnei Adam Domim L'Isvei HaSodeh. That people are just like grass. Halolu Notitzin V'Halolu Novlin. Halolu Notitzin means some sprout. Kloma. Kishahein G'delin G'delo Parnasosan V'Oshron Imahim. Some of them, as they mature, so their panasa and their wealth increases and they flourish. Ve'ein chatzarach li'doig aleihem. You don't have to worry about them. Don't worry about those guys. They're okay. Va'alolu novlin. Psalm novlin means mason. Lashon ve'olo novel. Okay? It's interesting why one, what this has to do with before. I mean, what's the smichas of parshas here? What's the connection between these two chazal? On the surface, it sounds like there's no connection. Sometimes the Gemara brings down a whole string of members because it's the same Mar de Shmaitza. Over here, it's funny. It doesn't bring down the Mar de Shmaitza. The Shmaitza says, it ends with the others. B'nei Adam, don't lasse yisara. What's that? It seems it's part of one member. Amalei Rav L'Rav Amnuna. B'nei Yesh Chai Tov Shem Alei Rishon Tadei Adam Lasse Yisra. Yeah. And then B'nei Adam, don't lasse yisara. It seems to me Gemara, Muchach, that is one member. What does one thing have to do with the other? It seems one thing has no shechas to the other. On one hand, he's saying you should enjoy life. If you have money, you should spend it and enjoy life. On the other hand, he's saying that people are like grass. Some people flourish, other people die. What? Shechus have to do that? Okay. There's one answer to both questions. That it seems like the philosophy seems like a hedonistic philosophy. And secondly, that what's the connection between one idea and the other? Chazal have it in one court. Okay. Let's go back a little bit to... Kehelis, okay, and Kehelis, of course, deals a lot with this, and we have spoken about it. But as I said, what I'd like to do is, I mean, you know, a great Chacham one time said that a good idea is worth repeating. So, at the risk of being repetitive, I think I'd like to just go over it again and try to really crystallize what the formula is. Okay, now the Ibn Ezra already stated, and we mentioned this before, that the method of understanding Kehelis is understanding the solution to its contradictions. Okay? For instance, in Bays, in Kehelis Bays, the good idea. So the first one I draw your attention to is Bays, okay? Directly say, L'schokamati maholo l'simcha mazo also. Take a look at Rashi. L'schoko marti maholo, what does it mean maholo? Mureves b'chiv anacha. Any kind of enjoyment, he says, always has an admixture of crying and pain, psychological pain. It means to say, it's a very deep psychological idea, what he's saying. He's saying that a person, in the midst of his greatest enjoyment, there's always another side of him that is unhappy. He just is pushing it down. He's repressing it. But really, no matter how a person thinks he can escape into joy, he really, at the time of joy, in the back of his mind, it's the opposite. Depression. Depression and joy are always simultaneous. Or joy is always accompanied by depression. It's an amazing statement. Okay. Well, the simcha mazo osa, he says, and what does happiness lead to, he says? Ma tova, according to Rashi. Rashi, tova osa. Rashi is best purish. Tova, sare sofa tuga. The end is depression. Okay? So basically saying that doubly, on the time when a person thinks that he's enjoying himself, he really is accompanied by an undercurrent of depression. As much as he's trying to escape, he can't. And then, after he's finished, then it's complete depression. Okay. So, doesn't sound too good. Okay. Now take a look at Beis Chof Dalid. Okay. Ein tov ba'odom sheyochal v'shasa. It means Ela sheyochal v'shasa. Ein tov ba'odom, it's Ela sheyochal v'shasa v'hera snapsho tov ba'amolo. Okay. The only thing good in life is for a person to eat and drink. V'heras nafsho tov b'amalo, and he should show his soul should experience good in what he has done in his accomplishments. And he ends up the pasuk. Wonder what the conclusion is. Gamzor ra'isioni ki miyad olakimi. What is that? The sheiches? I don't know. We'll get back to that too. That's something. Let's just keep that in mind. Okay. Take a look, for instance, at Gimel Yud Aleph. Gimel Yud Aleph. And Yud Beis. Yadati, Gimel Yud Beis, I'm sorry. Yadati Ki Ein Tov Bom. All right. What exactly that reference to is, you don't know exactly. Something's not good there. Okay, but then he tells you what is good. Ki Im L'smoach V'lasos Tov B'chayot. That's the good. L'smoach, enjoy yourself. He just said L'smucha Mazal also. It's always accompanied with the depression. Now he's telling you, no, you should be very happy. Okay? In case that's not enough, take a look at Hey Yizayim. Alright? Hey Yizayim. Hine Asher Ro'isi Oni Tov Asher Yofel Lechol V'lishtos. Tov Asher Yofel Lechol, it makes it quite clear. Lechol V'lishtos V'liros Tova B'chol Amolo Sheyamol Tachas HaShemesh Mispa Yemei Chayov Asher Nosen Lo Lekim Ki Uchoka. Okay? Again over here, what does he say? The main thing is to lechov lishtos. You can't be more clear than that. I mean, lechov lishtos. I mean, simply to eat and to drink. Okay. Then again, in Ches Tesvov, take a look. Ches Tesvov. Ches Tesvov. V'shibachti ani et simcha. Asher ain't told Lord them tachas Hashem is sherish ki im lechol v'lishtos v'lesmach. Okay? So again you see that what is the most important thing to do in this life? To eat lechol v'lishtos v'lesmach. I mean, that's what he's saying. Ain't a mikro yotze midei pshuto. I mean... Alright? Yeah. It seems not just Chazal are prescribing a hedonistic way of life, but really, you can't blame them. They got it from Kehelis. And it's interesting. You look at the Mashon, the Gemara Nev, and he himself says, this is all Kehelis, and he quotes the Pesukim from Kehelis. Okay? So the question is, what is his prescription? All right, let's see. Now, of course, throughout Kehelis, he always points out that, and of course, take a look at Zion, for instance, Tes Zion. Lech echo b'simcho lach mecho sheva leiv tov yei necho ki kvorotzo lekimes masecho. Again, achilon shio, I mean, this is constantly, it's a refrain, and he constantly repeats the same idea, okay? Yeah. Let me say, all right, so now let's try to put together the formula. You see, throughout Kehelis, he always explains, too, that a person doesn't know what's going to happen. That Chazal that says that the person shouldn't say he's going to leave it over to his child, I mean, that's also a pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki mi yagid lo eis asher yiyah achara. Where is that pasuk? Yeah. Vav Yud Beis. Okay, he doesn't know what's going to happen. So what is he telling you? He's telling you, you see, the essential, and that's what we established last time, the most essential point in Kehelis, the foundation of all Kehelis is that any kind of fantasy enjoyment cannot be enjoyment. That must be outruled right away. Because if it's an illusion and a fantasy, so a part of you has to constantly be suppressing that idea, and therefore you're immediately in conflict, and that's then you cannot be happy. Okay? So therefore, a large part of Kehelis is destroying the illusory types of enjoyments that are based upon a person's machshava, where he fools himself, and he creates a world that's not true. Okay? He won't tolerate that kind of happiness. That's the happiness of the hamon. The happiness of the hamon is to simply distract you from reality and make believe that everything you want is true, and then you can enjoy life. Okay, that he immediately rules out. Okay, so I would say step one in the formula is the removal of a person from all types of fantasy and illusion. That anyone that pursues enjoyment and happiness in life, the first step, the first thing he has to look into is the idea around which his happiness revolve? Is that an illusion or a reality? Okay? Like the idea, even if a person has a good son, still, what is a Miyagi law? You don't know. So if you're attached to that idea of enjoyment that's going to happen after you're gone, that's an illusion. And immediately, now that's one that you would think could even be substantiated. A person knows he's a good son, everything. Why shouldn't there? Because you don't know. If you don't know, then you're living in a world of fantasy. Any kind of illusion is, that's step one, I would say, in the formula, is that a person must remove himself from any type of happiness that's based upon something which is not true. If it's based upon the fact that he is immortal, he can't face his own mortality, that's another illusion. In other words, the enjoyment cannot be, but that's what Chazal many times say, when a person is going to do an avera, yaski yom amisa. What does it mean? It means to say, just think about this, the day that you know you're going to die. What would you think about this type of enjoyment on that day? Actually, has a different perspective. You see? That means it's an illusion. That's a way to check. What Chazal did was, they said they gave you a way to check and to see whether it's an illusion or not. All right? If it stands the test, so that means even a Yom HaMavis would say yes. If a Yom HaMavis would say no, this is nothing, then it's an illusion. Okay? Doesn't stand the test of reality. Okay. That's step one, number one in Kalis' formula. Okay. Yes. What Chazal mean by Yom HaMavis doesn't mean that the person would want to do that on Yom HaMavis. What it means is, on Yom HaMavis, if he think about it, would he say it makes sense? That's the point. Doesn't mean that it's something you'd want to do on that day. But that's different. See, a Yom HaMavis means, when a person is on a Yom HaMavis, it means he faces a different reality. Now, facing that reality, would this make sense? That's the test. Okay? Like I remember, I may have told you, Machaber Guggenheim, Rabbi Guggenheim, he met with, Lefrak. So Lefrak was very old, and Rabbi Guggenheim went to, he was an usher, you know, and Rabbi Guggenheim went to help him out and relieve him of some of his fully. You know, people say, it's basically a person that says, and like a left rack when he's facing death, his boss helped through the guilt and money is not. It means that now he's in a different reality, and the whole way he lives is just is a tiofta. So Chazal don't mean by Yom HaMavis that it's something you should want to do on Yom HaMavis. They mean it has to stand the test of the insight that a person has at that time. A person Yom HaMavis doesn't discard his whole life. He doesn't say I shouldn't have had this enjoyment, that enjoyment. No, he's mischarid on things that are not in reality. So that really is what Kehelis. That's really Tevel, Lechaz HaBeis Ovel, and Lechaz HaBeis HaMishnah. That's what it means. Okay, because Beis HaMishnah is escape, and Beis Ovel is reality. So that's one, that's, I would say, that's number one in the formula. Okay. Now, the thing is like this. What Kehelis is saying is, and this we mentioned last time, that the that man has a big problem, and that problem he expresses in the pasuk, Gimel Yud Aleph. Okay, pasuk Gimel Yud Aleph. Okay, Gimel Yud Aleph, he says, yeah, Esakol Asa Yofa Beito, Gam Esa Olam Nosan Belibam. Okay, Mibli Asher Lo Yimso Adam Esa Masa Asher Oso Lekim Erosh Asher. What does this mean? This is a very important pasuk. The Ibn Ezra explains. What it means is that the problem with man is that God placed in his heart the Olam. What is the Olam? Olam means eternity. It means to say that man can never be happy unless he feels that there is some eternity to what he's doing. That's why you'll see whatever a person does, he always attaches some kind of... A person is going to be successful. It's not successful today and tomorrow. He projects it onto eternity. Okay? And that's why you see in the romantic as well. Love is eternal. If it's going to stop in a short time, it loses its whole glamour. Okay? So, Gamas Olam Nosam Belibam, what Kehelis is saying, that man is constructed in a way that he's very much attached to the fantasy of immortality, of eternity. Okay? So therefore, the difficulty with man is That's one difficulty with man, is to satisfy, how does he satisfy that need? Okay. But there's another difficult, now, the way to satisfy that need, Tehelis, and we spoke about this last time, we'll take this as part of the formula. This formula for satisfying that need we spoke about last time, and that is two things. It's interesting, but Bertrand Russell, Chazal say that even certain Sfarim that are Osir, Mili Tavi de Izbe Darshinim, even if a person is not Bikaris and he says something good, we darshin it. And he did say something good. Bertrand said something very good. I mean, I don't know which part of the lesson wrote it, but he says that a person cannot be happy unless he's tied to something eternal. He says, whether it's God or truth or this. But a person who's attached to life itself, is just attached to live life for life's sake and life's enjoyments, he says, can never be happy. Because there is something in man that is not satisfied with that. He's going to make him depressed. He needs something big, something fantastic. Okay? Of course, the problem is, he hit the problem on the head. The question is, where did he find such a thing? That's the question. So, unfortunately for Russell, I don't see in his philosophy that he could ever solve that problem. But Yehadus has the solution. The solution is in two ways. This is the second element in the formula. The solution is that the need for the eternal is satisfied in two ways. The most essential way is through Chochmah. Through simply engaging in Chochmah. Because when a person engages in Chochmah, Chochmah is always the world of the eternal. Ideas don't have any time clock attached to them. Any idea, is always an eternity. So therefore, if a person learns through a sugya, and he learns through the area well, whichever sugya it might be, it could be tzum, it could be sugya in kedushin, whichever sugya it might be, whichever area he's learning, he's immediately in the world of the eternal. Okay? Essentially, he senses when he's learning a link to the eternal. That link gives him tremendous satisfaction. Okay? The way, that's what Yehadah says, is the way for a person to satisfy that element is through the act of limud. Just simply the act of limud. And really, that's what's wrong with the whole philosophy of the society. Because in anywhere you read about people and their search for happiness, whether it's in literature or whether it's in a movie or whatever it might be, you'll never see anyone walking away with a sefer, with a book that has ideas and that this is the essential element in their happiness. The world today is devoid, completely devoid of this concept. It does not know what it is. It has no idea that this is the most necessary element in human happiness. And of course, man is always striving for happiness. So everything he projects in his culture, whether it's through the television, movies, whatever it might be, he's always projecting some kind of... A person doesn't want to give up, so he's always looking for happiness. He's always trying to project some kind of idea. They live happily ever after. The marriage, this, that. All these things. You'll never find Chochmah. And that's what Kala says. Kala says, without the attachment to Chochmah, a person might as well just give up. There's no way. Because then he's going to be caught. Either he's going to be caught in illusion, or else in depression. And it's basically both the same. I mean, it's just a question of how much you're going to fool yourself. But happiness is impossible. So one thing is, Gamesa Olam Nosam Belibam, that they say is part of the second step in the formula. It means a person, in order to be happy, must, on a constant basis, every day. I mean, what does Torah teach us? Why the whole idea of Leibon HaTorah, the Rambam says, Mechuyif Lehen Teva Seder Kriyas Torah, daytime and nighttime. It means to say constant. Okay? And if you don't have that attachment to the eternal through the ideas, then you can't be happy, because that's the person's need. The second way, the secondary way also that a person satisfies that need, and that is in the pasuk that he says, Tes zayin leich echo besimcho lachmecho shev leiv tov yinecho ki kvorotzo ho alokim es masecho. It means to say the second way is that a person who lives according to the derech of Yehadus, so he knows that God knows that he's living the right life. So in that way, he's attached to the eternal. That's the secondary attachment. Because man is not enough, the act of learning itself, but Yehadis recognizes when a person gets finished with learning, he has to be able to reflect about his existence and be happy about it. So what he's saying is that it should never be in terms of what other people say is the correct life. That is the Nisoyon HaChaim, according to Yehadis. But it should be, a person should be satisfied with the fact that according to his knowledge, he's following his knowledge, and therefore he is living a life that he knows finds favor in God's eyes. Okay, that should be the secondary. In other words, you need the activity which is attached to the eternal and the reflection about yourself, because a person has to reflect on himself. It's human nature. Okay? That's step two, has two components in the formula. Okay. With this goes something else, which is extremely important. And this is really, again, part of the Milchemes HaChayim. And the part of the Milchemes HaChayim, I mean essential, every one of these things are essential components. And that is that Yehadis maintains that in order to attain happiness, it is no easy matter. It requires great chokhmah. It's no easy matter. But there is a path and there is a road through which a person can attain it. But he must place himself on this path, and he must follow these guidelines. Okay? One of the guidelines is that a person must always strive to avoid the enjoyment of the ego. If a person tries to engage in the enjoyments of the ego, he must of necessity become very unhappy. That root, that's the root of this society, that root is total devastation. And that's why, I mean, you have the bracha I always mention, what kind of tall? What kind of tall is the most beautiful tefillah? But first it's used by Lashon Hara, which is the instinctual through Dibur, and then it's the Nafshi Ke'ofer LaKol Tiyah. The Nafshi Mispalel, the Nafshi Ke'ofer LaKol Tiyah. They say that a person must be Mispalel, that he does not care, that even if he's completely like dust in the eyes of every human being, that he's completely happy, doesn't disturb him at all. On Caroline, Nafshi Sidon. But the first it's used by Lashon Hara, which is the instinctual through Dibur, and then it's the Nafshi Ke'ofer LaKol Tiyah. The Nafshi Mispalel, the Nafshi Ke'ofer LaKol Tiyah. They say that a person must be Mispalel, that he does not care, that even if he's completely like dust in the eyes of every human being, that he's completely happy, doesn't disturb him at all. On Caroline, Nafshi Sidon. These people that curse me, that are against me, I don't answer them, my soul is silent, and Nafshi Ke'ofer LaKol Tiyah. Then, Psach Libi B'Sar Sachar. Apparently, you cannot have the enjoyment of Torah unless you've reached a level where it makes absolutely no difference what other people think of you. Okay? Yeah, Chazal say, in the very same Daf in Ervin, the Gemara talks about a Talmud Chacham. So it says, the Gemara says, a Talmud Chacham is, it should be nearer to Vanakim Lagagra Sechot. Okay? In Mesimar Adam Atma Ka'anak Zeh, Shel Rafal Atzavar, the nearer the Eina nearer, Talmudo Miskayim. It means to say, like something that's around the neck. Okay, like a collar or a bracelet, whatever it is, rather something around the neck. So when a person moves the neck, so sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not. What does it mean? What does Chazal say? It says if he's that type of a person, he says Rashi's kach im talmud chacham lo eina rodeif lotzeis v'lovo b'shok. He says he doesn't try to run out in public all the time. Ela Yoshev Machzer al Talmudo, and then it's Miskayim Biyado. What is Chazal saying? Chazal saying basically the reason Talmud Chacham has different assignments. Talmud Chacham has the opportunity. He has the opportunity to receive kavod. But if he runs to be in the public scene, if that's what he tries to do, means to say if his enjoyments are the enjoyments of the ego, then ain't Talmud Miskayim Biyado. So the rule. I would say the rule, the prescription, rule number 3, is that a person should never engage in the satisfaction of the ego. What does Chazal say? Ma'od ma'od hevi shval ruach. Emphasize it. Ma'od ma'od hevi shval ruach. A person should try his utmost to be a shval ruach. That is the formula. And whenever a person moves away from that formula, he should know he's going to devastation. Okay? Yeah. It's interesting. I have an interesting shot. I didn't think about it too much, but it's a possibility. Chazal say that a Talmud Chacham can have a Shminis Sheb Shminis of Gaiva. Okay? It's a strange thing. An eighth of an eighth. 164 of Gaiva. So the question is, yeah, Shminis Shminis. What does it mean, a Shmini Shem Shmini? Okay. Well, it's a funny kind of a formula. I think what Chazal means like this. The Chazal means that if a person is a Talmud Chacham, he has to have two personalities. Okay. There's one personality, Klape Atmo, and there's another personality that he must have, Klape Chutz, because he's in a certain position. See, many times people don't understand the Talmud Chacham, and they think that the personality, Klape Chutz, is his personality klapei pnim. I mean, I have heard people sometimes criticize and say things against the Rav, because the Rav was very, very sharp-tongued. They didn't understand the Rav. The Rav was the greatest onuf. If the person knew his personality klapei pnim, he was the greatest onuf. But he had a certain responsibility because he was a gadol hador, and he had to project a certain personality klapei chutz. There, over there, what Chazal was saying is like this. That's why they say Shminis Sheb Shminis. It means like this. That one-eighth of his personality should be the personality Klape Chutz. And in that personality Klape Chutz, only one-eighth should be Gaiva. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what it means. Okay. Yeah. Now, the question is, insofar as... really, you both ask me the same question. The question is, how does a person do that? A psychologist would say, this is a terrible thing to tell people. Because in our society, the whole thing is to boost up your self-worth in any fictitious way it's possible. Okay. Yeah. The answer is like this. The answer is that the really happy person is not a person that has a false image of themselves, or even is concerned about the proper image of themselves. The road for a person to happiness is through guiding a person's energies to satisfaction. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is not what you think about yourself. It's nonsense. The people think, if you have a good self-image, you're going to be happy. That is based on the philosophy that self-image gives you happiness. What makes a person happy is really the ability to dispense your energies in a way that gives you satisfaction. Okay? And that's where the idea of lech echol besimcha lachmecha ushev leiv tov yeinecha, and that's why he repeats again and again. He says the only thing is lechol velishtos. What does he mean? He means to say very simply. He means to say that a person should and must enjoy the simple, plain pleasures of this world. That is a legitimate outlet, and that is a good outlet. And that's something that man was created, it's in line with his creation, and it's in line with his Chayei Shoah that Chazal talked about. This the amazing thing about Chazal is, you'll see every religion, every kind of system, they either get caught in one way or the other way. Either they say you have to be a total ascetic, you see, or else they say you must indulge in pleasure. The philosophy that the Navi mentions, the Roman philosophy, eat and be merry for tomorrow we die, that philosophy is really not accepting that tomorrow they're going to die. It's a very tricky thing. What they're saying is, let's put all the need for eternity into these few minutes. Let's pack eternity into the next short time. You see? That's why it's a false philosophy. What Yehadus recommends is that a person should enjoy the Achilosh Siyah, should enjoy the Chayesha, but simultaneously recognize that it's nothing more than Chayesha. Okay? Now, you'll tell me, but that leads a person to depression? It only leads a person to depression because it doesn't satisfy Gamasa Olam Nasan Belibam. But what Shlomo HaMelech is telling you is that satisfaction of Gamasa Olam, that a person is looking for the eternal, should not be satisfied in the Lech Lecha or Lech Lecha, the Simcha Lech Lecha, but it should be satisfied where? In Chachma and Kvar Ratzel Kinnis Masecha. Okay? If you look through Sefer Kehelis, there are a few things that come up again and again. This is one of them. Another one is the greatness of the Chacham, and another one is the low level of the Chsil. Okay? The Derech HaChacham is clear throughout the Sefer. So therefore, what he's saying, his prescription is totally different than our society. There is no need for a self-image. A self-image is only a need. If that's a value, then if you don't have it, so then you're stuck, you see. But what he's saying is that is not the way to direct the energies. The energies have to be split. Insofar as enjoyment is concerned, it's the simple enjoyments of life should be something that a person should enjoy. A person can't enjoy the simple enjoyments, the simple pleasures, then he has an illness. The reason why he can't enjoy them is because he's seeking from them the eternal of Gamasa Olam. They don't supply that eternal. You see? The Gamasa Olam must be sought for in Chachma and in Kvar Ratzel L'Kinnis Masecha, and the enjoyments should be satisfied in the area of where? Of Lech Echol B'Simcha Lech Mecha Shreve Lech Tadinach. That's what Chazal is saying. That's exactly what Chazal is saying in Gemara Ne'evan. That if a person has the opportunity to enjoy, if a person has money and has wealth, then he shouldn't refrain from enjoying the simple pleasures, but he should know at the same time. So they say, and know that you can't slow down death. You see, it means they're aiming at a certain type of psyche and mentality which is able to tolerate the fact that the enjoyments are only chayishah. But that is appropriate for man. That means that a person on the Yom HaMavis would reflect back and he would say, I lived intelligently. I enjoyed myself insofar as the pleasures are concerned, insofar as what they had to offer, the chayishah. Person watched a person in the snachim that he had. Chayishah, that's part of his life. Okay, what does Chazal say? Chazal says, shlosha o'avim ba'ala adam. A person has three lovers, meaning that love him. What does it say? It says one is his family, one is his money, and the third thing is his masim tovim. Okay? So what does it mean? It means the family means the emotional satisfaction. That's something that loves him, gives him great enjoyment. The second thing is his money, because his money gives him his needs, his sustenance. Okay? That's something that loves him. And the third thing is his masim tovim, meaning to say the third thing is the perfection of the soul. So Chazal said, when a person is niftim and olam, the only thing he has left is the last. But it doesn't mean the other ones are non-existent. They didn't say, so forget about the other things. They never said that. Other philosophies go into that kind of a way of life. We don't hold that way. We hold Yadus the main. All forms of ego satisfaction, and to satisfy the Gamas Olam through Limud, Chachma, Kfar Ratzel Kinnis Masecha, and simultaneously to be able to enjoy Chayesha. A person that's the difference between this, the philosophy of Chazal, and the philosophy of the Hedonist. See, the Hedonist says, eat and drink for tomorrow, we're going to die. He is saying, this is it. This is all there is. All the emotion of the need for the eternal, he wants to pack in to the physical. He wants to make the chayesho a chayolam. That That is hopeless. That is ridiculous. But to deny the Chayei Shama, that's equally crazy. Okay? That is, I would say, what is it, the third element in the formula. Okay? Yes. The Rambam describes it very well in Hilchas Melachim. Okay? Where he says, where he speaks about the Melach. Okay, the Melach has certainly an important position, more than the Dayan. That's the most important position. And you know that in Yehadis we really say that everybody should be a Melach. The concept of Melach is, doesn't mean just a reigning king like Shlomo, but his method Chazal went so far as to say that Shlomo Melach lost his whole kingdom, but he was a Melach only on Machlal. What they're trying to show you is that there's an inner Melach. Okay, so really whatever you have in Hilchas Melachim refers to every human being. Okay, this is like this. So the Rambam says that he speaks about the Melach. The Rambam really is the one that speaks about the two personalities. I mentioned before, the personality klapei chutz and the personality klapei pnim, where he says b'med v'am amorim, he says v'chein mitzvah l'melech apeg beiz halacha hey, v'chein mitzvah l'melech l'chabei lomdei atorah. The melech must always respect the lomdei atorah. U'chishayichnesu l'fonav sanhedrin l'chachmei Yisrael yamod l'fneihem, he should stand up for them. The yoshivim b'tzido, put them right next to him. V'chein hoya yoshofat melech Yehuda osa, afilo l'tam l'chocham, hoya omeid mikiso u'minashko, he'd get up from his chair, and he'd kiss him v'korelo Rebbe Umori. Okay? B'med v'amamorim, b'zman shehoya ha'melech b'veiso levado, when he's alone in his house, huv avodov yaseh zebetzino. Privately he could do that. Avo b'fahesya, b'fnei ha'om, lo yaseh. He should never stand up for anybody. He shouldn't speak humbly. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says there are two personalities. Personality klapei chutz, personality klapei pnim. And then the Rambam says, just like the Torah was mitzvah that everyone must respect the Melech, give him the highest covenant. He says, but in the same breath, the Torah said that the Melech himself, inside, he must be shofol v'cholol. Cholol means empty, a vacuum. Shenema v'libi cholol bekirbi. That's what Dara Melech said. As great as he was, inside, he had an emptiness. What is the emptiness? The emptiness means he never satisfied the ego desire. That's what it means. Okay? That's Yehadah's formula for happiness. Okay? What the Medrash is saying is, in Medrash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means to say that without Talmud Torah, the Achilashi is no enjoyment. That's what it means. It means that the essence of the person can enjoy the Achilashi only if he's essentially involved in Talmud Torah. That's the Medrash, yeah. But the Rambam told me the motivation to be a Dayan means that a person, when he reaches a certain level of perfection, becomes concerned about the Tzibur. The concern for the Tzibur is not for an average person. A person reaches a certain level, he naturally has a concern for the Tzibur. It's a natural thing that happens to a person that reaches a high level. I mean, like, no, that's not Lola Shmona, no, that's not Lola Shmona. Yeah, at a certain point in a person's development, the Rambam says, only Ketanim, we train Shalol Shema. So you can tell him when he was dying, you can tell him, like the Rosh says, what's Shalol Shema? We will stick with Rav. You call the Rav, and everybody respect you. That's only when a person is young, when he's cooking, okay? It's not talking about the person that's an older person. The problem is people think that you keep on following the same recommendations, you have to grow out of certain types of, certain methods, you know what I mean? There are a lot of ideas in Kehelis. And one of the ideas in Kehelis is where it shows that the person is contradiction with his own goal. Like a person really wants to tov shem shlach l'lach m'chapanei amayim tov shem shem. It means to say that a person a lot of times is greedy, but even in his greed he's in contradiction because he can't give away because he's greedy. But truth matters, he gave away, he gained more. So that's the same thing with tov shem shem. It means to say that even on a practical level, I mean, it means that a person a lot of times will ruin his name because of an immediate outbreak of greed. But truth matter is, he'd have more if he was smart and he'd overcome it. Yeah. The Rambam, the question he just asked, the Rambam in Hilchas Deis. You see, you have to understand something. What Chazal are saying, and this is the key point here. I mean, I'm glad you asked these questions because I see I'm not getting through. But what I'm trying to say is that the way of Chazal is not a denial of Chayei Shoah, but a recognition of Chayei Shoah for what it is. But in the recognition of Chayei Shoah for what it is, it doesn't mean asceticism. It doesn't mean no enjoyment. And it does not mean an overindulgence and a compulsive character to the enjoyments and to the pleasures. You see? And that's exactly what the Rambam is saying over this. You cannot give, by the way, that's what the Rambam says in the Shemana Prakam, that you cannot give an exact prescription for every individual. There's no exact prescription. He says, different Chachamim did things differently. You can't try to learn from what they did and imitate them because they were operating in accordance with their nature. This is something which a person has to, the Chacham has to make a decision based on that. What the Ram saying to Chazdeus is, if the person is a Chacham, then there won't be any compulsive character to his pleasures, and he won't be involved in overindulgence. The overindulgence is a result from mistaking the Chayei Shoah for a Chayolam. Make a mistake, be Chayei Shoah, that's where the overindulgence. But a person who recognizes the Chayei Shoah for what it is, this person will act rationally. And he'll indulge in the pleasures insofar as is necessary. But it does not mean that he won't enjoy the pleasures. It doesn't mean the Chayei Shoah is nothing. That Yehudas never said, to negate the Chayei Shoah. That's a crazy idea. Okay? This philosophy, this outlook has certain ramifications and a certain profile, a certain type of behavior that's recognizable when a person lives according to this formula. Okay? One of the things that Zeram is saying is that it does not have overindulgence. He's just giving the mark of the type of life. Okay? The Mishnah Pasmanach Tochal, the Grosse. The Grosse answered that one. The Grosse said that Pasmanach Tochal means when a person first makes his commitment to God. It says then the person has to remove himself totally from the from any kind of he says it's a stage, an initial stage. He says, but after that, he says that's because you know Chazal say an am ha'oretz should not enjoy life. It is very simple because the amoris doesn't know yet how to enjoy. I want to explain this. What it means is that the two people could appear like they're doing the same thing, but they're two different things going on inside. Two people are eating a steak, and it's two different things, worlds apart. One person is concentrating all his energy to get his life's enjoyment out of this meal, and the other person is enjoying it, even to a greater degree, but because it's not a compulsion, because of the fact that he simply enjoys it, purely insofar as he is an Adam, and there's such a thing as Chayei Shoah. Okay? The point is, you can't go by appearances. It's the inner, a person's inner self is really what determines the experiences of man, our inner experiences. The external is not the essence. Okay? What the Gros says is, Pas b'melech tochal means, when a person's an Am Ha'aretz, and he starts to learn, at that point he shouldn't engage in any kind of enjoyments. Because enjoyments at that point is bad. Because he doesn't know how to enjoy himself. So therefore, if he tries to enjoy himself then, it's just going to be indulgence. But once he's a Talmid Chacham, the Gros says, then he can enjoy this world. Because then the enjoyment is proper. You understand what I'm saying? That's the key. That's why the Gros says, Pas Melech Tochal means, initially, the person comes to learning and he's an Amoritz. He has to pull away from all the pleasures, everything. Pas Melech Tochal. Why? Because indulgence at that point is a wrong kind of enjoyment, which is going to remove him from Torah. So better remove yourself completely from the enjoyment. But once he's a Chacham, and he understands what we're talking about here, how to enjoy Chayei Shoah for Chayei Shoah, enjoy the temporal with the recognition that it's temporary. That's a different kind of, it's a qualitatively different kind of experience. I want to make this point clear. Okay, it's a different kind of experience, different kind of enjoyment. Okay, it's a far greater enjoyment, but it's totally different. That's what the Gros says. Okay. The definitive answer is like this. In one person, the enjoyment of the Chayei Shoah is filled with a frustrated attempt to really produce a Chayei Olam from that experience. You understand? Whereas the other person really enjoys the Chayei Shoah for what it is.
his need for Chayolim is satisfied in another area completely. So now his mind is totally different. He has a different mindset. He really enjoys this thing for what it is, and it's 100% enjoyable. There's no admixture of pain, because that's exactly what it supplies, is exactly what his needs are. His other need is being satisfied somewhere else. That's the difference. But that's the puzzle. Tachas Yalavadatam means, if you don't understand the formula, and you don't pursue it, then it means destruction. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. It means... it's not that the Chayashah is important, because the main thing, the only thing that can really be important is something that's eternal. I mean, obviously. But it means to say that if a person is not able to enjoy, the last way you said, if a person is not able to enjoy the Chayashah, then there's something wrong with his way of his whole philosophy. Then his philosophy, his psychology is off. Okay? All right? There is such a thing as Chayashah. And as a matter of fact, Chayashah enhances Chayolam for a simple reason. That when a person is in a good state of mind, he could learn better. What does the Pasuk say? What does the Pasuk say by Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem? Yesterday's Pasuk, what does Tikkun Mukla say? The Shari Shchinta, this is the Shari Shchinta. What do you mean? It means the Shchinta was gone from Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because emotionally he was distraught because of Yosef. Okay? The moment that... Now, this is not a chayol, this is an emotional thing, that a person has a love for his child, it's an emotional thing, and he was distraught. But you see, the Shchinta wasn't able to relate to him. Why? Because he wasn't in a happy state. Tachas Shalavadat Hashem V'Kachav V'Tzuchav V'Tzuchav V'Tzuchav. So it means to say, many chazal say, nevuaki, a person can't have music, they use music, to be in a happy state of mind, the chayeshah is necessary for the chayolam. If you can't enjoy the chayeshah, so then that's it. What did Yitzchak say? Aseli matamim kasher hafti, vavili v'ochelo, bavur shetvarechon nafshi, that was ashra shchina. Without the happy state, that's, what did Yitzchak need all those macholim for? What did he need it for? What was that? What were those macholim? Chayeshah. But the Chayeshah and Yahadus is a necessary component of the whole human personality. If you can't enjoy a meal, if you can't enjoy the Chayeshah, then you're a distorted individual. And the truth of the matter is that the big businessman and the big empire builder never enjoys Chayeshah, as crazy as it sounds. They're the people that are working day and night under compulsion, and they really don't enjoy these things. You see, and because they're involved in an attempt to take the Chayeshah and make it into a Halalam. That's why there was a contradiction. You see, they know themselves in contradiction, but they avoid thinking about it. Okay? But a person that is really a perfected individual in country, he enjoys the little pleasures in life, he enjoys very much. And this is good for a person, and it perfects him. Okay? I want to mention social is very, in man, since man's experiences are inner experiences, social takes on a different meaning. So a hermit could be a very social person. You see, he's a hermit, he hasn't seen anybody in 20 years, but in his mind, there are a lot of people going around up there. So he's not alone. it's the inner experience, as I said. Man is really tired, and that's one thing that very few people have a realization of. People think that it's the external thing that's going to make you happy. It's not the external thing. Even if the external thing gives you a modicum of happiness, it's always the internal experience that makes you happy, not the external. External, at best, can only be a vehicle. It's what happens inside that is that is what determines whether you're happy or not. Okay. With the Melech, you read the Rambam. It's right there in the Torah. From Pesukim in the Torah. That's where the Ramban says that... He says, "Levilti rum levavo meyachav." So the Ramban says, "You see from this, gaivus and misdaraisa." Okay, because he says, if the melech who has reason to be misgoy is not allowed to kavacham a regular person, well, the talker is. And the Navi says, "Oko valev mikol." The mind is crooked, and therefore a lot of times the person experiences pain. It could be mental pain. It's very difficult to distinguish a lot of times mental pain, physical pain. Yeah, there's no question about it. The mind is the most powerful part of man. I mean, that really. Is guides everything, even the physiological. And I think the more studies that they do, the more they see how important the role it plays in terms of things. But I'll tell you one thing: in this society, they're always trying to say everything's physical. Oh, I want you to know that. In their research, they're always trying to say it's just the physiological. That is an attempt to avoid a certain psychological reality. You have to realize, science is if it's a science is the problem with science is that it's the work is done by scientists. That's the problem. So the problem is science is just a person. I mean, so and they have to operate based upon their philosophy. So if they have a crazy philosophy, they're going to be searching in a crazy direction. I mean, it's based on people. Very few people have a deep knowledge of psychology. So in our society, you'll find there's a big trend, although there's a counter trend too. It's really dichotomous. There's a big trend to show that everything goes is physiological. We're perfect. There's no problems. It's all physiological. That's a false approach. Well, I'm not discussing that point. I'm talking about the mental, insofar as it's mental itself, is really what gives a person happiness. Yeah. But yeah, I want you, I want you to understand something. Even when I say the Torah is a formula for happiness, okay, maybe I didn't make myself clear. I am not saying that what the Torah says is that a person is going to be walking around in a blissful state his entire life, even if everything is wonderful, okay, and it's arrived in a pasuk. Because v'libi cholo b'kirbi. It means to say that you're going to have to face, and that's what Yehadus recognizes, that the desire for the eternal, which is really the ego fantasy and the eternal, same exact thing. The ego fantasy is always going to be suffering a certain amount of displeasure and dissatisfaction. There's no way to avoid that. But it doesn't mean he's not happy. But you understand, that is where he has to, insofar as he's human, there's always going to be Libi Cholo B'Kirbi. That's always going to exist. That's in Dor HaMelech, okay? But it's only what Yehada says is that kind of dissatisfaction, if you face it, and it's proper, so then there's a little bit of that, but essentially the person can live a happy existence. You understand what I'm saying? But don't mistake me to think that the battle, that's the Melchana Sahayim, is there. Insofar as a person's more perfected, he has more happiness, and the Libi Cholo gets smaller. But insofar as he concentrates on the ego satisfaction, it's always we behold the kibbutz. There's always some amount there. Yehadus does not give a description of a person just walking around blissfully. I mean, that's impossible. Okay? But he can have a very happy existence. But he has to face that one displeasure. He has to grapple with that. Okay? Yeah. Cancel. According to Yehadus, I mean, insofar as the ego is concerned, there is a dilemma here. Let me just describe it first. According to Yehadus, the more a person is involved in negating himself, at the same time, the more the self is asserted. Now, this sounds like an impossibility, right? Yeah. What it means like this, that there's two selves. There's the real self, and then there's the illusion of the self, which is based on egoistic fantasy. The more a person breaks down the egoistic fantasy and is in line with the real self, the more he is confident in ways that a person that is involved in the false self would fall apart. Okay? I'll give you an example. Avraham Avinu. An average person, if he was confronted with the Shekhinah, and if God spoke to him, would simply fall apart. That's it. He would not, he couldn't respond. What did Klal Yisrael say? Okay. Now, yet Moshe Rabbeinu is the owner of Mikol Adam. He is involved in self-abnegation to the greatest degree, and yet he's not afraid to talk to God. Not talk to God, to argue with God, and give God ultimatums. So you see, it's a strange phenomenon in Yahadus. But this is 100% true, that the false ego of the self, and this is one of what we mentioned before. Insofar as you build up a false ego, the false ego is based on an illusion. And the moment that illusion is broken, the whole thing is gone. But the person who does not have any illusions about himself and knows what he really is, Vanochi off of Afer, that person is the strongest person because he has a realistic concept of himself and he is a Bria, and now he's confronting his creator. So he knows, yes, sir, I'm a Bria, certain rights. God has to teach him the answer. What is I'm a Lama Tel Lama Yisrael. So he isn't afraid to converse with God. So it comes out exactly the opposite. That the illusory, and that's really the mistake of this society also, of building up a false ego. Because building up a false ego never works, basically. You always see always false part. Because it's building a false ego, the person tries to think, and all of a sudden one thing happens and boom, they're gone. Because it's not based on any kind of reality. But what Yehuda says is the real strong ego is the person that breaks down all illusions. And then he gets down to the core of what he really is. He's in reality. Then he can converse with God. It's exactly the opposite. He is far stronger than any person who has the fantasies and the illusions of his great ego. It's an amazing thing. Would a person be able to do that? A person who just shattered. Yeah, now there's one question. So far the formula sounds very good, but there's one question. The question is, who mentioned it? Yeah, the question is Yaakov. Okay. The question is Yaakov Vino. If that's the case, if the Torah is really in favor of happiness, so how do we understand Yaakov Vino? He says, all the tzaras that live through. So apparently the Torah is not portraying a life which is enjoyable and happy. All the tzaras he had. I mean, this is the biggest tzaddik in the world. Okay? So how could we say that simultaneously the Torah is saying that a person should have a good life? Tachat shelo avadata. And the Chazal, the suggestions of Chazal. See, I think the answer is really found in the Psukim of Koheles. Look carefully, you'll notice the second half of the Pasuk. Remember I told you for a second half of the Pasuk doesn't seem to fit in? Okay? The reason why it didn't seem to fit in is because the second half of the Pasuk is the answer to that question. Okay? Take a look. The first one was Beis Chof Dalet. Ein Tov Bodom Sheyochal V'Shasa. That means Ella Sheyochal V'Shasa. The only thing good is that he should eat and drink. There is nafsho tov ba'molo, okay? Gamzo ra'isi oni ki miyad olakimi. Remember I said, what sheikhas is that after this? All right? Hey Yitzayin. Give me what? Hey Yitzayin. Hey Yitzayin. Hine asher ra'isi oni tov asher yofel lecho v'lishtos v'liros tov v'chol ha'molo sheyam ol tachas ha'shemesh nispay mechayav. Again, asher nosan lo olakim ki uchalka. What's that? What is it going to do with it? Okay? Yeah. Ches Tezvav again. Ches Tezvav. You'll see that there's a consistency here. V'shibachti ani es ha-simcha asher ein tov la'odom tachas ha-shemesh ki im lecho v'lishtos v'smach. Clear as a bell, okay? But then, the second half of the pasuk. V'hu yovenu v'amolo yimei chayav asher nosan lo olokim tachas ha-shemesh. What is it putting it in for? What's it going to do with it? Okay? Again, take a look at Tes Zion. Yeah, Tes Zion. Lech Echol. Okay, that's a Lech Echol. Hold on, it also ties in. But Re'ei Chayim Emisha Asher Ahavta Kol Yimei Chayei Hev Lecha Asher Nosam Lecha Tachas HaShemesh. Okay, it's a funny contradictory thing, okay? Yeah. Kol Yimei Hev Lecha. Again, he repeats it, making sure you're happy. Ki Yuchel Kecho B'Chayim Uva'amolcho Asher To'omel Tachas HaShemesh. This pasuk, I think, brings it out more than any other pasuk. But it's the same idea, okay? What is he saying? And there you see, Rei Chayim Emisha Shehafta. It sounds like, have a great life. But just a minute, Kol Yimei Chayev Lecha. What does that mean? It means to say, like we said before, that Chayesha. No, it's Chayesha. It's Chayev Lecha means, Hevel means is nothing. It's evanescent. It's over very quickly, okay? So it means to say that it's know that this is that it's only momentary. Asher nosan lecho tachas hashemesh kol yimei hev lecho. You should also know that your whole life very temporary. Where's what Chazal says? Exactly what Chazal says, that the whole life is a high alma ki hilula damya, means to be able to know this shouldn't bother you that it's temporary. Don't deny it's the fact that it's temporary, and don't be upset about it, but be able to enjoy the fact that it's temporary as it is. Okay, that's exactly what he's saying. She says, Asher nosan lecho tachas hashemesh kol yimei ki hu chel kecho b'chayim. See, this is an important thing. This, I think, is the next component, which is without which I think it's indispensable. Because according to our philosophy, everything's very nice. There's only one problem. Problem is, and this Kehelis brings out the problem too, that a person doesn't know what's going to happen to him. There are tragedies in life. A person can be suddenly taken away from life. All these things. You see another person has a tragic existence. Another person has a very good existence. I mean, what are we supposed to do with this? What are we supposed to do with this? The answer is one thing. The answer is, and that's what Kehelis says, where he says in the end of Ches, you see, Rises kol masay or kim ki lo yuchal adam nimtzas a masay asher left pasuk in ches ches yizayin ki lo yuchal adam nimtzas a masay asher nasa tachas hashemesh b'shel asher yamo lo adam levakesh v'lo yimtza v'gam en yamo chacham lo das lo yuchal nimtza. What does it mean? He means to say that a person has to be able to come to grips with one idea. If he doesn't have this idea, he can never be happy. And that is the idea of chelkecho b'chayim, which means to say that as long as a person, see, there's two aspects to this. First of all, as long as a person is existing in a situation where he compares his life with others, he can never be happy. If he's motivated, success-oriented, so you're motivated towards ego, so then he's not going to have, because there's always somebody that's better than him, okay? It's like, it's like Bertrand Russell said, and Napoleon was jealous of Caesar, and Caesar was jealous of Alexander the Great, and Alexander the Great was jealous of Hercules. So there's no end to it. I mean, there's always somebody better, and if there isn't, you can read about somebody, and you'll be envious of him. So at the moment the person is in the world of the comparative, where they compare other lives with theirs, if they're egoistic, they can never be happy. But then there's another kind of unhappiness as well. Because unfortunately, we're surrounded with tragedy also. So that means, how could a person enjoy himself? There's another side. Everybody always thinks of the jealous side. But there's another side that is just as painful, especially to a sensitive individual, that a person is fortunate, and God gives him good fortune, and looks around and sees somebody unfortunate. He says, why do I deserve this? Why should I be different than that person? So then the person can get into a situation of guilt, and they just can't enjoy life. There are people like that. People that everybody thinks life is so simple. You just think that if they just had enough of success, they'd be very happy. But it doesn't work that way. Many times, people who have success, and you find, anybody that keeps their eyes open, they're the most miserable people. A lot of times, success turns on a person because a person doesn't know how they're going to react in a different situation. There's one of the fellows in Yeshiva used to always give good advice. He said, if you're doing well, don't try to change the situation, either for better or for worse, because you don't know how psychologically you're going to react. That's very true. And many times sometimes good fortune destroys a human being, because they suddenly look around and they see other people aren't as fortunate, and they feel guilty about it, and then they can't enjoy life. You get the opposite reaction. Okay, a person is very complex. A person is not a simple mechanism. Okay, so the person runs someplace, they get there, suddenly they find they made a whole big mistake. What did they do this for? Why? Because other aspects of the personality that weren't operating before start operating then, and then they're in a different dilemma. So, in terms of human happiness, this is the important, this is the key, basically, one of the most important things that he says. And he emphasized it, Matas Elokim, go back to those psukim that we just said, Matas Elokim, ki hu chelkecho b'chayim. It means that there's only one way that a person can be happy. And that is, if the reality to the person is only his chelek, and nothing else. That's it. A person must always look at his life in one way. There's only one reality, and that is your chelek in life. What anybody else has is simply non-reality insofar as you're concerned. That's why he says, and even if a person has all the enjoyments and pleasures and everything that God gives him, all the success, everything, he says, Zum matas elekim. The person has to recognize, this is matas elekim. This is the way it is. He says, whatever God made and did, Allah vein lahosif umimenu ein legroa. You can't add, you can't subtract. The reality that God gave you, that is absolute, and there's nothing you can do to change it. So if a person is less fortunate, the other person is more fortunate. If he's comparing, he's not living reality. And vice versa too. A person that's more fortunate, and he looks at somebody that's less fortunate, that is not his chelek. Very simple advice. This, I would say, this is the next element, extremely important element, and that is to recognize that there's such a thing as matas elokim, which means it's an inviolable reality. This is the way it is. And insofar as your chelek is concerned, that is reality. Yaakov Avinu had his chelek. It's not yours. to say that, to say, for a person to say, well, how could God give me a good life? Yaakov Avinu was such a big tzaddik and he struggled. What's the answer? The answer is, that is lo yuchal achacham limtzah. You can never know the answer. And that's why it says, also lakimes adam yashar v'heim bikshu chishbonos harbe. What does it mean, chishbonos harbe? It means God made man straight. He gave him a certain reality. But he wants cheshbonos. What's this guy? What's that guy? He wants to understand these cheshbonos. But these cheshbonos only God can understand. And insofar as a human being is concerned, he is stupid and it's absurd for him to engage or involve in that type of thinking. That type of thing has to be completely ruled out. Okay? That is one of the most important elements in the formula. Matas Elohim, to recognize. And this big tzaddik had all these sorrows, and this other person had all this. That is simply not a reality. There must be a concept of chelka chobachayim. That's it. So if a person, that's why tachas asher lo avadato asher Hashem lo kecho besimcho v'tuv leivov. That's exactly what the pasuk means. Why? Because it means that God says, I gave you everything. Your situation was great, and you were unable to enjoy it. So that was. That is, that means that you're not perfected. You see? That's why, but for a person, but Yaakov Avinu had a tzaras, that's it. You can't do anything about it. That's it. That's the way that was his chelek. He couldn't be Oveid B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav, because it was impossible because of the situation. But if a person has the situation, and insofar as they have the situation, they aren't Oveid B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav, because they look at the other person or whatever it is, even if it's for guilt, it means to say that he's not in reality. He's not living the life that occurs. On the contrary, he's a kofli tov, because he had a good situation. Why didn't he take advantage of it? He has to answer why he didn't take advantage of his good situation. You see, if a person had a tragic situation, he can't do it. That's it. Accept that reality. That person has to accept the reality. You see? The reason, but I want to say this ties into what we said before. The main reason that a person is preoccupied with other people's lives and how they are, the main reason is again the same reason we mentioned before. Namely, that a person thinks that the Chayeshah is a Chayolam. That's the mistake. Because the amount of energy, the reason why people can't get away from this, and that's why you see all these nonsensical books written on the, you know, good things, bad people's nonsense. Why? Why do they write these things? Because the main preoccupation is Chayeshah. When a person realizes it's only Chayeshah, he's not really interested in what happens. The interest is evoked because you're placing an undue amount of importance on something that doesn't warrant it. It's only Chayeshah. Okay? It's only Chayeshah. It's not, once a person realizes it's only Chayeshah, it doesn't mean it's nothing. Again, nothing is a reaction, is an emotional reaction the other way. It's something, but you understand the perspective, the interest is not that powerful. The interest is not that powerful, you're not concerned in trying to find out God's Cheshbonos. It's not because you want to understand Chachmas Elokim that you're going into that area. Chachmas Elokim, that's not the area for. You're going there because your emotions are very involved in that, because this is everything. Why should he have? Why should this? You see, that is the cause of the involvement. So really, this last element in the formula is something which is very much tied to the previous elements as well. But it is a specific element. That is, Eze Washa Samer Bechelko, that's what it means, that's what it says, Chelko. The whole concept of Chelek, Hashem Enos Chelki. Chelki means recognition. The Chelek means, when there's a Chelek in Yerusha Soretz, it means this is your Chelek and that's it. The other guy has nothing to do with you, this is it. It's a finite, fixed reality. And it means to say that if a person cannot recognize that he has a certain Chelek and Chaim, whatever it is, it's not a reality, that's the mistake. He thinks he could change it. He thinks maybe he's unhappy with it. He's deciding whether he's going to take it or not. You see? Then he can't be happy. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry. Right. That's correct. That's exactly why Chazal tied... Thank you very much. That's why Chazal tied those two things together. See what he says? Bini im yeshloch. If you have... Im yeshloch. If you have, hate the loch. Enjoy it. Im yeshloch mamon. So enjoy it. It means... She'ein b'shol tainug. Vein l'movis esmameya. In other words, it's Chayeshah. Well, a person should be open to be, should be able to enjoy Chayeshah, okay? V'im tom aniach with me, okay. Chok b'shol mi'ayla. B'nei Adam domim l'isvei asada, halalu notzim v'halalu novlim. What does it mean? It sounds like a very cold statement from Chazal. But that's what they're saying is, that's, everybody is different. Some people flourish, some don't. It's something which a person must accept. That's reality, that's God's reality, it's not my reality. My reality is my chelik. That's what they're saying. So if your chelik is good, enjoy it. Another person is not as fortunate, that shouldn't make you feel guilty. That's the way it is. B'nei Adam kisvei asada, that's God's plan. You can't do anything about that. You're fortunate that you have hate the luck, so then you should enjoy it. And if you don't, then you're kafir tov. You're kafir tov and you're living a foolish kind of existence. That's basically the philosophy of Chazal. A very deep philosophy based upon, it's complex. It's not simple. It doesn't follow any emotion. It follows a certain reality. It's a difficult one to master. But my point is that I think that a person should always have before their mind's eye the elements that Chazal teach us for happiness. Because